Hello, welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club, and cowabunga, dude. This was an interesting experience. Total blast from the past, which is very on brand for a game about time travel. And also, first off, I don't know how this turned into a pizza-focused podcast. First, we had the pizza deliveries in Death Stranding last season, and now the Ninja Turtles have me craving pizza again. What the hell?
I suppose lots of pizza. We're enjoying pizza.
Yeah, I guess my childhood love of the Turtles probably should have tipped me off about it, because I clearly remember that they like pizza, but I forgot about that detail until we started playing Turtles of Time. The funny thing is, I'm not even that much into pizza at all anyway. I generally choose something of the many other types of food out there when going for something that's not healthy. Anyway, we went through Turtles in Time this time, and we went through it in co-op, just because that's an option, and played the Super Nintendo version first.
Yes, we did. We, as you said, we went through co-op. That was a bit of a, as I'll use an English word here, a bit of a palaver, or just an absolute mess.
Kind of a hassle, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big hassle.
Wait, yeah. Not online co-op should be seamless in a game that's all about co-op.
Yes.
Right.
And even though it's a remastered collection, the Cowabunga collection, and it has online, it says it's online, it would not let us join with each other. We could not get it to join up a lobby.
Send an invite in either direction. The invite would pop up and you could click select, but then you didn't actually go into the lobby. You could create a lobby and then the other one could find it, but still not join it, even though they confirmed that they joined it. So that was fun.
Yeah, it was. It's a little bit of a mess for a while, but then we just ended up with, like, let's just Google this, see what we can do. We obviously found a Reddit thread about, yeah. Hey,
turns out playing it's a PS5, problem.
Yeah, on PS5, it's a known problem. It's basically broken. But what you can do is do share play. So if you're in a party together on PS5 talking, you can go into your party, and at the top, there's like a little icon for share play. You click on that and you say basically like your visitor will play with you, and then you start up the game. Instead of going to the online mode, you just go to like a regular mode as if you're playing solo, and then start it up. And luckily we hit two player and it popped up on the screen of letting me select a character, and then you were able to select a character, and that's just how it went. Well, what you need to know for that is the person who's hosting the share play has to have very good internet.
Right. I mean, once we got it all sorted out, it worked pretty well. I hadn't used SharePlay before, and it was a tiny bit blurry on my end. You were hosting, and wasn't a big deal at the end of the day, although I would remove the 1 hour time limit, which is kind of unreasonable or not useful at all. I don't know why they have that. So we had to keep restarting it. So that was kind of a pain, but whatever. As far as the game itself goes, though, once we got everything working, it was actually pretty tough in some parts. I think our muscle memory of beat-em-ups is not super strong. Eventually you can get to a point where you know what you can do, you know what your attacks are. The movement speed of walking is pretty slow. The input for the dash move, or the dash itself and the dash moves that are connected to the dash, are very hit or miss. There's some sort of delay for whatever reason between the second input of the dash, so you can't just quick tap the directional button. The knockback was huge, like you fly halfway across the screen for whatever reason. But at the end of the day, it was pretty cool, I think. I had some vague memory. I may have played it in an arcade once, but it was good to get back in there. I personally cycled between Raphael and then Leonardo, since in the Super Nintendo version, you can change characters when you hit a continue.
Yeah, you could. I think I was Donatello mainly to start, and then there were a couple times where I switched to Michelangelo and played through with him on a couple of the stages.
Right. And I, you know, I did, I we played the arcade version second, and I used Raphael the whole time on that one, since the original arcade had each character assigned to a specific location on the arcade cabinet, so you couldn't switch in between. But I think the big point here, and we both kind of agree on this, is that it is a significantly better experience all around on the arcade version.
Yes, the arcade version was far and beyond a better version. The SN, the Super Nintendo port is, it's fun, but, and there were some differences, but it was nothing and didn't look nearly as good as the arcade. The colors weren't as vibrant. The background was a bit more grainy.
The music and voice was hard to hear in the Super Nintendo. You could actually hear clearly the handful of voices that do appear in the game, and the music itself had voices to it as well. This all makes sense considering arcade cabinets are basically just full computers in boxes, while a home console has limited capabilities. And for the time, it's just great to be able to sit at home and play this game that you'd usually have to go into an arcade and pump a bunch of quarters into endlessly. So, you know, don't be fooled by the fact that the Super Nintendo port was released later. If you have access to both, which you probably do if you're playing Cowabunga Collection, the arcade version is better, with the handful of differences notwithstanding. Yeah, just considering how smooth it was, how much faster you could move around, it was so much easier to pull off the special moves. I really enjoyed it a lot more overall, and I'm glad that we played the arcade second, and we only really played it second because we had that problem with the joining the group, which we were going to do it first originally because it released first.
Yeah, if we didn't have, I'm glad, as you said, that we did play the arcade version second. The one cool part with the Super Nintendo was the one stage, I think it was like it's called Neon Knight Riders, where it's sort of F-Zero type. And because the Super Nintendo had F-Zero and their, is it the FX chip?
It's the Mode 7.
The Mode 7, yeah. The
Mode 7 feature and chip that was used really heavily in Super Castlevania 4 and F-Zero, and it was used really well across a lot of games. It makes sort of that pseudo moving or rotating background that allowed, and Super Mario Kart made all those possible. So that, yeah, that hoverboard section in that particular level was really awesome because the intro was behind you.
Yeah, it was behind you.
Forward, and then it switches back to the regular hoverboard side section view that you had seen previously in a couple other levels, but it was really cool to see that pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was.
Also used that chip for the handful of segments where someone, I think it was usually Shredder, was popping behind this, basically where you're sitting, and starts shooting at you, and you have to throw the enemies towards the screen. It did actually also, the Mode 7 chip is what allowed you to throw enemies towards you at the screen to begin with as well. That's why that throw move doesn't exist in the arcade version. So all those things are pretty cool additions.
Yeah, they were. They were cool. They were good additions to the game.
And in the Super Nintendo version, there's also an additional level before you go back in time in the Technodrome. And then obviously there's one at the end, but that extra level was pretty cool. The ability to swap turtles when you use a continue, right? That's definitely makes sense. And it did shuffle the bosses a bit. It had Bebop and Rocksteady as pirates, which was different. Basically just a shuffle around of all sorts of details. But I think it was a lot of fun going through the individual levels, especially the time travel related levels, right? There's the dinosaurs, which I think is the most emblematic of time travel in most media. Yes. There's the pirate ship and the train, Wild West train level.
The train, which was, yeah, the level stage 7, bury my shell at Wounded Knee. So yeah, it's back to there in history.
Yep, very much associated to odd parts of history.
Yeah, it was.
Well, overall, you know, I think it was a good fun experience. At the same time, it's not super deep as far as story goes, but are you ready to dive deep into the story? Especially with its detailed analysis of philosophy and the arts.
Yes, definitely. Let's dive in.
You can't really expect a profound, nuanced story coming from an arcade game, I guess. So you have to let those brief cutscenes and environmental storytelling do the heavy lifting. There's a few stages in New York. There's the sewer level on the hoverboards, right? There's those handful of sort of time travel levels, and then you go to the far future cityscape, and then to a futuristic lab. Then you fight Shredder on the Technodrome, right? There's not much beyond that, it doesn't necessarily, aside from the dinosaur level, which I think they did a good job with, where of course it was a mixture of the Foot Clan and those rock dudes, which I can't stand.
And those rock dudes annoying. And then the Foot Clan soldiers riding on dinosaurs that do so much damage to you when they run you over.
Riding on dinosaurs, there's the pterodactyls that drop things on you. Oh, totally realistic, obviously. There's the stalactites that fall out of the cave. So many, semi-traumatized, but had a good time.
Yes, they're definitely, you can tell it's the old school game because it's like, I'm trying to like move my way out of the way and you feel like you've pressed the button to move, but it's a little, also this could be because of shared play too, playing over it, a little bit of a lag on the button press.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I get hit by a stalactite that just falls from the ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you think about it, the names of the turtles plays into the history factor as well. And, you know, doesn't go much farther past that. So after we finished, I don't think I had mentioned this to you, Alex, but I also went back into the Cowabunga collection the next day and played through solo the Hyperstone Heist, which is the Sega Genesis game that I mentioned last time. Okay. So that was released in 1992, and it added minor details in some places, like the streets level. It's basically a reshuffle of Turtles in Time, but for Sega Genesis, and with a completely different concept. So it definitely added minor details, like the streets level towards the beginning had a garage with a car that dries out, and if it hits you, it's an instant full life bar kill. So that was a thing. They had a couple of moments where things came out of the background like that and destroyed you. The sewers level isn't a hoverboard level like it is in Turtles in Time. You just walk through it and you fight Leatherhead there. So he's not on a train. He's in the sewers, which kind of makes more sense.
That makes more sense.
He had a whole bit where I think he even went underwater and popped out at you, kind of like the alien necromorphs that exist in both of these for some reason.
Oh, yes.
Once you get past the New York stage, you go into relabeled things. So the pirate ship was called the Ghost Ship. The other new levels are more kind of around the world. So basically the whole concept behind this Hyperstone Heist is that the Hyperstone is a thing that you can use to shrink things. So the game starts with a cutscene of April on TV and the Statue of Liberty, which I guess everything in the 90s wanted to destroy the Statue of Liberty or steal it or whatever. So Shredder uses the Hyperstone to shrink the Statue of Liberty and all of Manhattan. And that's the whole idea. So instead of going back in time, you're just going through around the world. And I don't know if he's trying to shrink the whole world or what, but there are also a number of new levels that weren't in Turtles in Time. So one of them was basically just fully Japan. It even had a completely pixelated replica of the Great Wave off Kanagawa, that super famous painting of a wave.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
And you're going through essentially like shrines and whatnot. So it fits the ninja part of the Ninja Turtles. And, you know, despite the story showing Shredder shrinking things, there was not a single level that involved you being shrunken or going through a shrunken place, which would have been cool if you ask me. I think maybe something in the Zelda Minish Cap style where Link actually gets completely shrunken and is basically in the normal world but at a tiny level with tiny people and all that. That would have made a plenty of sense in this, but they didn't go for it for whatever reason. There's also an entirely new boss fight, which is in that Japan level named Tatsu. He just throws a ton of knives at you and has a bunch of ninja minions. So it's kind of like manage the minions and don't get cut apart. Also in that game, the jump up with the downward kick attack is super overpowered. It doesn't do a ton of damage, but it can power through so many other enemy attacks that you can just go straight through them when they're about to attack you and chip away at their health. So it's really easy to get carried away and just spam that constantly to wipe out waves of enemies.
Okay. When you played this, and so you played it by yourself, did it actually, was it just you? Did it give you any like AI turtles to play with?
No, it did not. It was literally just a single turtle, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which would have been cool to have that option to play like the full set of four with AI companions, but I guess that wasn't a thing back then, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, good for you for getting, what was it, about 10 stages again, too?
Oh, that was the other thing that's different. Yeah, instead of 10 stages, it was only 5, but they were much longer. So it had the New York stage was basically all of the first 4 or the first 3 New York stages from Turtles in Time bundled into one. It had the ship one, which was much longer, and then it had the Japan one, and then they basically go into that final kind of laboratory setting before the Shredder boss fight. There was also the second to last level had a 4 boss rush, which was just repeating all 4 of the ones previously and had a different version of the fly guy who wasn't a fly, he was still a human in a robot suit.
Oh, Baxter Stockman?
Baxter. I guess before he mutates into a fly, but he's in a floating robot, like robotic thing, and then launches a bunch of those little chicken minion things at you. So that was interesting at boss rush before even getting to Shredder.
Good for you for beating this single-handedly. How many game modes did you get?
Well, I used a fair bit of the rewind function and a bit of that spamming downward attack just because I didn't want to spend too long doing it, but it was good. It was good to see the differences, and obviously, yeah, they snagged a fair portion of it straight from Turtles in Time, which, hey, smart for them. They get something a little different. Someone that's playing on one console and not the other, or maybe has some interest in playing it somewhere else or getting both consoles. A good marketing move.
I'm going to have to, I might have to go back and try it, play it.
And well, to cap it all off, my TMNT binge weekend also included my first time watching those 2014 and 2016 movies, which were enjoyable enough, but also clearly not intended for me at this point, with the sort of child-directed jokes. Makes sense. Totally fine with it existing. And, you know, well enough animated and all that, but I probably won't watch it again.
No, I haven't seen them. Those ones for a while, the 2010 ones, the Michael Bay movies. I wanted to rewatch them because I think I saw them. I didn't see them in theaters. I saw them not long after they came out then on DVD, Blu-ray. So yeah, I'll have to, I kind of want to rewatch those.
Excellent. I think, so as far as parting thoughts go, I have a handful. I feel they could have taken advantage of the time travel idea more. The levels where they did use it was well done, but really only half of the game was while time traveling, and the entire first 3 levels in the arcade version and the first 4 levels in the Super Nintendo version were just things in present day. For such a short game that's literally called Turtles in Time, my personal opinion would be that they should have just included one setup level in New York. Maybe that combines the streets and the sewers or something in present day, and then immediately get sent back in time. There's so many possibilities out there for time travel levels beyond the dinosaur pirate ship Wild West and sci-fi future. They could have done medieval, a world war, ancient Greece or Egypt or Rome, the Ice Age, feudal Japan, like all those things.
I was going to say the Japan was in the original movies, the third one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like there's just so many options that they could have taken advantage of, and they made half the game present day. So,
yeah, I agree. It would have been nicer to definitely have more of the time travel element in it.
Yeah, that I would have hoped for that. And if they ever remade it, like truly remade it as a Shredder's Revenge style game, maybe that makes some sense or would be a good thing to go for. We did actually, now that I think about it, we also played Shredder's Revenge, which we haven't talked about.
Yeah, we did. We did play Shredder's Revenge then the next night after playing Turtles in Time.
The next night, you know, playing Turtles in Time, 2 versions, really got me in the mood to play Shredder's Revenge. And so we jumped into it. Alex, it was your second time playing. I really enjoyed it. They just did so much well that they improved on, both between the special moves. We both got the 4 DLC characters included, although I played as Donatello and Leonardo. But I have to say, it was just such a great experience. It really painted a detailed picture of how much they were able to evolve the gameplay and bring it into the modern age. Beat-em-ups certainly don't need to stay dormant. Hats off to Dotemu, the developer there, for everything they did with Shredder's Revenge. Yeah, they really managed to create the modern iteration of the series. Exactly how rose-tinted glasses have so many people believe they remember Turtles in Time. And they did it as a brand new game instead of doing a remake. So even cooler.
No, it was. It was a lot of fun. It's a cool story. And yeah, adding all the extra characters. I do like the part, the new special moves that you can do.
Yeah, special moves and the dodge button is a major difference maker.
Dodge button is a big difference maker.
I do think they still could have taken advantage and added a block button. Would have been great, but they didn't go that far. It might have made you too overpowered. I don't know.
Yeah, it would have been nice since there are enemies in there that do block, and you have to try and break their blocks. So it would have been nice if there were a couple times that you could block as well, especially since there are times where you're trying to get your combo up to however many hits. Like, it counts as many hits as you get in a row without getting hit or without... It stays there as long as you haven't got hit, the combo, and if you move to the next stage before, if you are able to hit somebody before it goes away. Because I think after you've killed somebody and you have a hit combo, say like a, I think my highest was like 135, 140 hit combo, and then you have to move on in the stage, and if you can get it and hit somebody before it goes away, like you have about like 5 seconds or so before it flashes and goes away, then you can continue it. Otherwise,
yeah, the slow progression of actually leveling up and unlocking extra health, unlocking extra like the extra power bar for the special move. Yeah, it's just all around a kind of cool thing. And Turtles in Time had this, but they did a really good job with making the characters feel unique, not just in their weapons and movesets, but in the stats that they have, so strength and speed and technique and all that, which was, it's good. It makes repeat playthroughs more entertaining than just button mashing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it definitely, this one, Shredder's Revenge, definitely has a higher replay value compared to Turtles in Time. I liked like one of the little things when you can revive your teammates by giving them pizza.
That's a big deal too. And you can also sacrifice some of your health to give someone else health, which we totally
by
forgot
cheering
about
them up.
Every time.
Yeah, but... we forgot about that one. I do like in this that for each level you have some challenges to try and complete, which gives you a little more XP to help boost your characters up to the next level. Also, there are collectibles to find which weren't too difficult. We found every single one. Just they're not too hard to find in each level, but it's a nice little extra cool thing to add to the story with some other little cameos in from across the universe of TMNT.
Yeah, it's definitely exactly what I would hope for a modern iteration of this style of game, especially for this franchise. I do think, as far as, you know, just parting thoughts as well, at this age, despite nostalgia playing a heavy role and recognizing that, there's still definitely a certain allure to this franchise. Something about a group of brothers that have their differences of opinion and their squabbles, but at the end of the day, always stick up for each other and fight as a family. Like, that's kind of a timeless thing. As a gamer, add on the variety of weapons that they use, each has their own personality that you can get behind. I'm surprised at how invested I got quickly back into just the world and the characters of the Ninja Turtles themselves, which is kind of funny to me.
Yeah, I think also just the second you hear the theme song that we all heard as kids, it just brings you back instantly.
It fires all those nostalgia bonus points for sure. I also have some good news for you, actually. So last time you said you were a bigger Power Rangers fan than Ninja Turtles, and hope that they would re-release one of those older games too. Well, playing this and Shredder's Revenge made me remember it, unlocked this from my memory. So it's not a remake, but a Shredder's Revenge style modern version was going to be released eventually. I looked it up, and you're in even more luck because it actually already did release at the end of 2025. It's called Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Rita's Rewind. It features the characters from the original show. So, you know, the red, yellow, pink, black, and blue. And I think you can unlock white or green. I forget which one. And it has all the original enemies, so it's not the newer ones. It's the ones that we remember. It was made by Digital Eclipse, who are the people that made the Cowabunga collection, which is cool. Although I wish it was by Dotemu, who made Shredder's Revenge, because I basically, to make this really great, hopefully Digital Eclipse figured out how to make online co-op work seamlessly. Either way, we should play it sometime. If they didn't figure that out, we got to do it just on local couch co-op instead of online.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll have to. Okay. I'm going to have to go on to probably put it on PlayStation, throw into my wish list and throw that on there.
Yeah.
See if I can catch it on a sale. Because, yeah, I would definitely like to replay those. Because, yeah, just Power Rangers was more of my childhood. And I remember the original Super Nintendo games. Mm. And just really enjoying those.
So what would you rate Turtles in Time?
I would probably give it, because you can definitely tell, the nostalgia feels with all just the TMNT and everything. But overall with gameplay, I'd probably say a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay. It's reasonable. I'd probably say a 6.5 or 7 probably.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we played it after having it in my backlog since long before I even knew what a backlog was. And I'm today rating it by modern standards, knowing that it really, when it first came out, reset the foundations and quality bar for beat-em-ups as a genre all those years ago. So I definitely give it credit where it's due. And I had a lot of fun with it, especially in co-op, but I can't imagine I'll ever play it again. Except if I come across it in one of those actual arcade bars, then yes, absolutely, I'll play it again with a beer in hand and others joining in and remembering what we did here so we kind of know how to get through levels in certain ways.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be the only time I probably would ever replay it again as well. I think also our reviews, as you said, if Shredder's Revenge was not out, if we didn't have that type of game to compare
for
it
context,
to, maybe it would have been a little bit of a higher score. But since we have that and we can see now that type of beat 'em up and how they've done it,
right?
It's definitely, you can see the age of Turtles in Time.
And I suppose now that you mentioned it, I'd say 6.5, 7 is my aggregate score. In reality, I'd probably give the Super Nintendo version a 5 and the arcade version a 7.
I'd probably say 5 and 7.5 for the arcade.
If you split them out that way.
Yeah.
I will say, though, Shredder's Revenge has actually stuck in my mind, and I even have some motivation to go through with all the characters at least once just to see what the gameplay feels like, even if it's by myself. It was just that much fun. If I do that, though, I'll probably pull my arcade fight stick out of the closet and play it like that for extra immersion.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one to play. I don't have an arcade fight stick.
Just give it a shot.
I know. I feel like I should maybe invest in one.
Now,
Shredder's Revenge is a good game too. That has, as I said, the replay value to go back and try and replay and try all the characters out.
Absolutely. Now, did I hear somebody order a pizza?
No, unfortunately, no.
Well, one can hope. Tune in next week to find out which game season 3 of the Gaming Backlog Book Club will be about.
Yep. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Cowabunga.
If you want to follow along and discuss our playthrough of any games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name. Thanks.